Hello and welcome to the American Marketing Association Marketing Power Podcast Series. I'm your host, Nancy Piccalo, Director of Online Content for the AMA and editor of the Marketing Thought Leaders and Marketing Researchers newsletters. Joining me today is Eric Johmstaller, who is founder and chief executive officer of Evaldi Partners, a global strategy, innovation, and marketing firm with headquarters in New York City. He's the author of more than 60 articles on strategy, branding, and marketing in academic and business journals, and his book, Hidden in Plain Sight, was also the recipient of the AMA Foundation's 2008 Barry AMA Book Prize for the Best Book in Marketing. Eric, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I wanted to start off talking a little bit about where we've been from a marketing perspective in the last 18 months. It seems that we are perhaps on the brink of finally emerging from an entrenched recession. How has the economic crisis, in your perspective, changed marketing during these last 18 months?
I don't think the economic crisis has changed marketing. I think that marketing has changed independent of the economic crisis. We have undergone a very significant transformation, I would almost say revolution, in marketing, an empowered consumer, a smart, savvy consumer, a changed media landscape, a much more difficult trading environment in terms of every category, new competitors that are global competitors that undermine existing incumbencies. And I think these are the changes that we have lived over the years. They are not specific just to the recession.
Great. Also, it seems that most companies and brands today continue to place understanding customers at the top of their to-do list and certainly back it up with an assortment of learning tools, including ethnography, focus groups, and others. What is your assessment of how they're doing with understanding customers?
I think I'm a bit more critical about this. I've been in this business for over 25 years. Customer orientation, customer centricity have been buzzwords, have been often paid lip services by marketing executives, by companies and CEOs, a feel-good statement for their annual report or shareholder meeting. We today are facing a significantly different customer and consumer. We have to begin in a totally new way to think about how we understand customers. Techniques or methods such as focus groups or ethnographies are merely the tip of the iceberg of how deeply we have to dig into the consumer's daily life or customer's workflow processes so that we understand, really, truly understand or become customer-centric. I think currently customer centricity has really been more a soft direction rather than a real significant change of how we look at our opportunities in connecting and understanding customers.
You know, in fact, a recent Yankelevich Monitor survey said that nearly 3 out of 4 consumers believe businesses care more about selling them products and services that already exist than coming up with something that really fits in with their lifestyle. How can companies, you think, shift their strategy to understand customers in the context of life experiences?
I made this a significant part of the last book, Hidden in Plain Sight, and also the practice and in our consulting work. What is very important is that we need to stop thinking about customer needs and customer wants in terms of customers' preferences, in terms of merely attributes, brand attributes, or needs and wants, and even unwanted needs and wants. What we must do instead, we must fully understand something I call the ecosystem of consumers, the context in which consumers live. When you think of a consumer, there is not a consumer that needs another car or a different car in terms of particular features such as quality or price or whatever. But what people really need to get solved by, need to solve is their mobility problems. What we need to understand is is, as I said, the ecosystem. And by that, I mean that every consumer has a goal every day, has a set of processes or activities that person has to take care of in order to achieve that goal, make certain decisions along that process in order to get to the daily goal, hire certain products and services to achieve those goals. I on a Saturday morning need to solve my mobility problems in terms of mobility problems or challenges. I think of taking my son to a soccer club. I live in New York City on the Upper West Side. There is no parking around. There is on the West Side. I need to bring my daughter to horseback riding in the evening. I want to have a wonderful day out or night out with my wife. In order to solve that mobility problem, I don't need to compare one car to another car. Features, attributes, emotional benefits. I don't love one brand over the other. Emotional codes of brands are for me totally irrelevant. What really is relevant is solving my mobility needs. And the solution for that is not another car, but a mobility solution such as Zipcar, where I can rent a car for the hour or can get a car across a garage. These are new concepts. If we think of marketing in this particular way, we are not trying to sell consumers more products or services, but we fit in the 1,440 minutes that we all live in from midnight to midnight. Marketing becomes not merely putting a lipstick on a pig and beautify a brand and tug on emotional heartstrings, but marketing actually becomes an innovation and growth engine that deeply connects with people and in their daily life.
Those are really, really great points and a great way, to look at marketing today. You talk about that a little bit more in depth in a recent article that you wrote, Capturing the Ecosystem of Demand. And in that article, you talk also about the episodic reconstruction method.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit more detail about what kind or different kind of value does that method provide brands today?
Yes. When you think of ethnography or focus group or any other marketing research, it is basically an approach of looking at the world from the inside out. You have your product tucked under the arm, Coca-Cola, and then you look at consumers from that vantage point of Coca-Cola and try to find consumers. You segment consumers. You create pithy messages that says joy or real or whatever it might be in order that consumers capture the idea and the essence of your brand and are drawn to the brand. It's an inside-out point perspective about how you think about marketing. All these research methods use an inside-out perspective. Of course, they look at consumers, but they always do that from the point of view of your existing capabilities, your existing product, your existing company situation. What the capturing the ecosystem of demand or the particular method of episode reconstruction method does is it says, now leave behind or set aside your existing product. Now, step two, analyze the 1,440 minutes that we all live from midnight to midnight. Don't target consumers in attributes whether they are psychographic attributes or lifestyle attributes. Consumers don't like to be targeted. Instead, understand the episodes in consumers' daily life, what people really go through minute by minute, hour by hour. And then try to understand that context. Try to understand that ecosystem, as I mentioned in my earlier answer to the earlier question. And when you have fully understood that then you can really begin thinking about how your product fits into this. So episodic reconstruction is a way of reconstructing these episodes or moments or minutes of people's daily life. And not look at consumers per se, but looking at the context in which consumption and use takes place. But not just of your product, but also other alternatives of how consumers solve a particular challenge in their daily life. What this does is it opens up your aperture. It is as if you would clean your vision from a smoke screen, and you see entirely new opportunities of connecting with consumers, of innovating around the daily life context or those episodes of consumers. You don't look at consumers in segments or in stereotypes or in tribes, but you look at consumers as they solve their daily problem, and a company can then find out how to add real value, how to solve people's daily life in those episodes, rather than merely differentiating their product from a competing product on certain attributes or emotional benefits.
Yeah, that really sounds like a game-changing approach to how marketers will be approaching, you know, consumers. As an extension of this model that you've just been talking about, I think one of your recent Vivaldi studies addresses how brands that build and nurture the social currency that's going on today can really also help to drive brand loyalty. And I'm wondering, can you define the concept of social currency and what we've been talking about and what brands can do or need to do to acquire it?
Yes, I'd be glad to do that. The social currency work that we have done is an outspring of our work in consumers' daily life in applying this episodic reconstruction. What we have found is that many companies today are chasing a particular technology, a particular application or network solution. We find that many executives tell us, well, I know there is this revolution called social media, or social, and there are networks, and we have so many petitions and proposals to be on Facebook, to create a community, to stop thinking about communications but get into conversations, to be like Harley with the Hawk Club, or to create an espresso a club like for coffee drinkers, or to engage in various forms of social media. One thing that we realized in our work is that social media and communications is not just about conversation. There are, in fact, six dimensions or levers that an executive or a company can activate in order to create value for their brands. That's point one. Point two, we realized that companies should not chase technologies. Technologies is merely a means to the end. The decision that needs to be made before you chase a particular app, whether it is Foursquare or is it Twitter or what it may be, the before you chase the particular application or technology and apply that in for your marketing, you need to define which of the six dimensions that allow you to create value for the brand. And this is what social currency is about. In this particular research, we defined for the first time the six dimensions of value creation through social media technologies and networks for building stronger brands and connecting with consumers.
Yeah, and just building on what you were saying, it seems like today all the talk is about conversation and building buzz and some of these social media tools, but really brands today need to get beyond that buzz and create meaningful experiences around the brand, correct?
Exactly. It comes to the meaningful experience. We studied over 64 brands here in the United States. We asked over 1,000 consumers, and we found that many brands do not understand what really drives their value. There are brands that think that it's all about buzz, or some brands that they chase the idea of affiliation and community. But if you are a user of Gillette shaving cream, let's say, you don't necessarily can build or want as a consumer be part of a Gillette community. Chasing the idea of or trying to build a community sometimes around shaving cream is just simply a poorly spent investment. So what we have found is that you need to really think about first, what is the kind of brand you have? What is the kind of customer base you have? What drives value is the third point in your particular category and business. And out of a strategic analysis, you can create a social currency or social media strategy. And that strategy defines how you create value, but not just because you create buzz or conversation. Buzz or conversation in itself is not a value. What is a value if you can translate that into brand equity and brand loyalty? Because brand loyalty and equity is something that is measurable and translatable in revenue growth, in customer retention, customer acquisition, and so forth, and price premiums. And so I think in this particular work, we answer the question, how do you truly build a strategy rather than merely chasing the technologies that are merely the means to the end, in my opinion.
Great point. And one last question. If you were to give marketers out there, brand marketers in particular, one piece of advice who are, they're looking to better manage their social currency and do as you suggested and really coming up with a strategy that will drive value for their brand, what would that be?
My starting point is, again, to the beginning of my interview here, my starting point is deeply understanding the context of daily life, how consumers interact with media and how they interact in this new social context and work. It is amazing. That's point one. Do not start with your brand values and your brand ideas or your big ideas that may be provided by some providers. Instead, deeply begin to understand how consumers interact in their daily life, in the context of their daily life, around your brand. This study, which we use a methodology called the episode reconstruction method, there are other methodologies to do that. But from that study, you can learn how you can help consumers do what they really want to do in their daily life. For example, do they want to connect? Do they with others? Do they want to learn about more information? Do they want to chat to people? Do they want to collaborate with people? Are people willing to help you in co-creation efforts? Consumers today are lean forward people that want to engage in their in social media, want to engage with brands of all kinds, and want to participate more proactively than perhaps the consumer of yesteryears. And starting from that perspective, you gain insights that helps you develop a strategy of how you create value outside of your product, but in the context of daily life. This is a key point to think about. The value that you create is not by having a better shaving cream or by having a better soup product or food product. The value you create is in the context of people's daily life, and that value is no longer just the product itself. In the old days, we used to say that when the product exchanges hand from manufacturer to retailer, there is a value transfer. That value transfer today is equal to any other company that is competing with you in the market. the value today now that really is created is the context that you create around your brand and around your product. And this is where I think there is a lot we can learn, a lot we have to improve, and a lot we can really change the way people live their daily life in a better way.
Well, those are some really important points, I think, for marketers. We've been talking to Eric Johannstaller. Thank you very much, Eric, for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our Marketing Power podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience. Make sure you sign up for our RSS feed at marketingpower.com so that you're aware of all of our podcast series available to you. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala. Thank you very much for joining us.